We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I want to talk about a different subject, but also in relation to the scriptures that we've been reading. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll read our scriptures 7, 24 through 29. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. And so we've been talking about how different areas in our life, if we'll be rooted and grounded in God, rooted and grounded in our relationship with Jesus, in the Word of God, in our faith, in our character, our godly character, we won't be fazed by storms when they come. But many people, even though they actually are Christian, even though they believe in Jesus, they've never actually put their roots down deep. And then when storms come, they find themselves affected by that storm. They find themselves in turmoil. They find that even though that they thought their faith was strong and that they loved God and they were going to church, when a storm of life came, when maybe they lost their job, they lost a loved one, maybe a divorce, different things that have happened in their life, when a storm happened that they weren't as solid in their relationship with God as they thought. So Jesus is saying it's so important that we build our foundation deep, that we build our foundation on the rock, that we build our foundation in Christ, so that when a storm comes, we won't be impacted by it. And I believe that there's many different areas of life that we need to be rooted and grounded in God in our relationship with Him. And tonight, I want to talk about one of those areas being fear. And actually, I don't know if I should say that fear is a storm of life or is an effect of the storms of life. Because when a storm comes, just whatever type of storm, if you're in a hurricane, if you're in a tornado, if you're in a blizzard, very often those things are associated with fear because you don't know what's going to happen. How will this affect me? How will I make it through? You know, when there's a very serious storm, a natural reaction is to be fearful of it. But there's also, figuratively speaking, that when a situation in life happens, fear tends to be the first tactic of the enemy to get you to lose your faith. Fear will try to come to combat your faith and will try to grip a hold of you. Many times fear is a very natural response to people. It's their first response to a situation, to a bad situation that happens. Look, a storm here that Jesus is talking about, a storm is not a good thing. It's nothing that you enjoy to be in. It's when something is going badly, coming against your life. So fear is the plan for the enemy of your life to be able to go through, to be devastated by that storm, whatever it is. You know, you get fired, and your mind immediately goes to thinking about, well, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to make my rent payment? How am I going to pay for this and that thing? Or maybe it wasn't fired, maybe it was a layoff. You know, you get a letter from the doctor, and it's not good news that you're terminally ill. That's what the report says. So the first thing that for most people, even though they're Christian, for most people, the first thing that will trigger for them is thoughts of fear. Is not thoughts of victory, is not thoughts of, woohoo, I'm so glad that I'm a Christian, I'm so glad that I'm alive, I'm living in the best days of my life, I'm called of God, I'm going to do big things. That is not the typical reaction when something devastating happens. Because it's the plan of the enemy to get you to delve into fear. Because if he can get you into fear, it takes you out of faith. It takes you out of God's word. So we're going to look at another passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 8 that will actually show how Jesus responds to, it really contrasts faith versus fear when going through a storm. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 is just the next chapter over. It says, "Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly there was a great tempest that arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, and he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Now Jesus says something here to the disciples that is kind of strange. In my opinion, quite strange. They're in the middle of this storm. It says that the winds were blowing really strong and that the waves were coming over the ship. I think I talked about this briefly last week, saying how these were professional sailors and they knew that this is a serious situation, that this is a bad storm, that we are dying, and that they were saying that as professionals in the industry. They knew that they were going down. They knew that they were going to die, right? So when they come to Jesus and they tell him about it and he says, "We are perishing," Jesus responds with, "Why are you so fearful?" To me, that is such a silly question for Jesus to ask. It's so obvious why they should be fearful, right? Because we're going to die, Jesus. Don't you care? I mean, come on, Jesus. Like, you can't be oblivious. I know you're snoozing in the boat, but that wave just slapped you in the face. Like, I mean, come on. Like, don't you know why I'm fearful? Don't I have a right to be fearful? This is a scary situation that we're facing. He's not talking to a group of wimpy boys. No, he's talking to a group of fishermen that grew up fishing on these waters. And they understood the seriousness of the situation, and they were scared. And if anyone at that point had a right to be scared and to allow fear into the life, it would be them, right? So when Jesus asked them, "Why are you so fearful?" It was a silly question to ask. It's because we're dying, Jesus. We are about to die. What kind of a question is that? Why are you so fearful? Now, have you ever gone through something and you felt like you were all alone, that nobody understands what you're dealing with? You know, honestly, I think this is how the disciples must have felt here. You know, because they come to Jesus because they're scared. And I think many Christians think the honorable thing to do is to come to Jesus and talk to them about how they're so fearful and talk about how they're scared. And I don't really think Jesus is very impressed by that, right? I mean, he didn't appear to be then. Why would he be impressed by that now? You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people think that just being honest about the situation that you're facing and talking about it and getting it off your chest is the solution to the problem. It's not. Jesus was not impressed with them, and they came and told them about a very real situation that they were facing, about a situation that was killing them, that was going to kill them, a situation where they were going to die. Jesus was not impressed by them coming and being very open and honest with Jesus and saying, "Jesus, look, I just got to be real with you for a moment. I'm scared. We're going to die." Did Jesus for 1 minute like say, "All right, Peter and John, why don't you just bring it in? Let's have a little huddle right here, a little cuddle sesh. You know, why don't you just rest your head against my bosom, you know, and I'll just calm you down and you can cry on my shoulder." For one moment, did Jesus do that? No, he straight up rebukes them right there. "Why are you so fearful?" He asked that stupid question. Why are you so fearful? Everybody knew why they were so fearful. But the reason why Jesus asked that is because their fear was not valid. God does not consider your fear valid. He's not impressed by your fear. and he doesn't like think that your emotion, that your emotions of fear are mature. I think that there's a lot of people that think that fear is a mature thing. You know, many, many people grew up with families, and I'm going to pick on moms for the most part, not that it couldn't be dads, but moms where they were worrying over their children. And they think that worrying about their children is the mature thing to do, and that that's being a good parent. But it's not. Because the Bible says, literally, not to be anxious for anything. Another word for anxious is worry. So when you think you're being mature and worrying after your children and wondering, like, I'm not saying to neglect your children, let them just go screw around and do whatever they want. You still have to be their parent. But you parent them, and then you trust that God's going to take care of them. Amen? You shouldn't be worried about them getting sick every time the weather changes. You should know that sickness and disease can't come near my house because I am a child of God under the blood of Jesus. Amen? His stripes were shed for my children as much as they were for me. So what business do I have worrying about them getting sick? In fact, half the time, your children probably have more faith than you anyway. Jesus said that we have to become like little children with their faith because they just believe right away. You know, you can just go pray for kids and they just receive. Amen? The normal way of living in our society, the normal way to respond to situations when they happen, is to be in fear, is to be in worry, because that is seen as the responsible thing, that's seen as the mature thing. But we have to, as Christians, change our perspective when it comes to fear. Because God, and I'm going to read the scripture in a little bit, but it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, why would anybody ever embrace fear? Right? If it's not from God, where could it be from? I mean, it wouldn't be from anywhere that I would want. So why would I embrace fear? You can't. You cannot let fear operate in your life and expect to do anything big for God. Because as long as you remain in fear, you're not in faith. The two things contradict each other. So why wasn't Jesus scared when this situation was happening, when this storm was coming and the waves were coming over the side of the boat, the wind was blowing really hard, and they had a legitimately good reason to be scared for their lives. Why wasn't he scared? Here's why. Fear cannot penetrate perfect love. Fear cannot penetrate perfect love. If you would, please turn in your Bible to 1 John 4:18. This is an amazing scripture. And you should know this one. 1 John 4:18. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." You see, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And we know that God is love. So he's saying that in God, there can be no fear. Because if God is love, and in love, there is no fear. So right here, we have one of the keys as to how to get rid of fear in your life. You need to allow more of God in your life. You need to allow the love of God to come into your life. When you allow him to come in and you allow him to touch you and to change you and to put that love on the inside of you, the love of God, and you begin to take on the very nature of God, you begin to take on his character, fear begins to leave. Because in love, there is no fear. And God operates in faith, not in fear. So the thing here was with this storm was that Jesus' faith was stronger than fear. When a situation arose that normally would cause fear, would normally arouse fear, it didn't touch him. Fear did not touch Jesus, even though it should have. In the natural, because Jesus was in a human body, he should have been scared just like the rest of them, because they were facing death. But he wasn't scared. You see, one of the things with your faith is that your faith has to become so strong that fear can't touch you. That's how Jesus was. So Jesus, in the face of a deadly situation, can just be like, what are you even scared for? Now that, like, sounds great, but to be in the reality of that situation is a pretty big test. If I challenge you, if you don't believe me, next time we got a big storm coming our way, get out in some sailboat in the middle of Lake Ontario and just see how you do. Right? I mean, you would be nervous. You'd see the storm clouds coming. You'd be looking and you'd start to see the wind picking up. And you'd be like, man, I think we got to start heading for shore. And Jesus is in the boat with you and he's like, nah, don't worry about it. I'm just going to take a snooze back here. And he just starts taking a nap. Meanwhile, this storm just starts ripping the boat to shreds. I mean, that would be terrifying. But when your faith is so much stronger, fear can't touch you. And, you know, faith comes from, as we know, the Word of God, right? But faith also can come from knowing your vision and your purpose. Because Jesus, he knew his vision and his purpose was to go to the cross ultimately, right? So Jesus knew that this storm can't kill me. Because God sent me to earth so that I can be the perfect sacrifice and die on the cross. He knew what his purpose was. And therefore, anything that tried to stop him from his purpose couldn't touch him. So our objective has to be to see that our faith becomes so strong that fear can't penetrate you. And I believe that this, my wife and I, we were talking about this on the way over. We were talking, and I was saying that, you know, when you face situations, you'll feel fear. Even as a man or a woman of faith, you'll feel fear. It's not that fear isn't existent, but it's that you cannot respond to that fear. So you go through a situation, things are bad. Example, sinking ship in the middle of a sea. All right, bad situation. But the problem that Jesus had with the disciples was that they were acknowledging fear. Their response was based in fear. How do we please God? Faith. For it is impossible to please God without faith. So anything other than faith will not please God. So by the disciples coming to Jesus, and even though they were describing a real situation with real danger, and it had real merit for them to do so, Jesus didn't care because they were not talking in faith. So when you face a situation, whether you lose your job and you're concerned about your income, whether you get diagnosed with some sort of sickness, whether you find out bad news about your relationship with your spouse. When fear comes, I'm not denying that fear won't be there, that it'll be actually a temptation for you to want to accept that fear and then speak it out, right? You know, you get the diagnosis from the doctor, this is what I have. And immediately the doctor tells you that, and then fear settles in on you, oh no, that's what I have, and then you begin to talk it out. But you don't have to. This is what we were talking about last night on Facebook. You don't have to acknowledge what the bad situation is. You can decide and choose to rather talk in faith. And then Julia was saying, but isn't there a point that you come to where you don't even acknowledge where you don't even feel the fear anymore? Where it's not even like it could even faze you like it was to Jesus? And it's true, because the more that you trust in God and you see that he comes through for you, you can laugh in the face of famine. At destruction and famine, you shall laugh. And you can't laugh at destruction and famine unless you're in complete faith and you have no fear, right? So you have to come to the place of knowing who you are as a child of God, of knowing that you're more than a conqueror, of knowing that greater is he that lives on the inside of me than he that is in the world. You come to this place of knowing that nothing can touch me. Amen? And that fear then can't enter me. And then you can live like Jesus did, that when you see a deadly situation, you don't respond with fear, but you simply speak to the storm, you speak to the problem that is assaulting you, and you speak by faith and command it to cease, to desist, to go away, and it has to in Jesus' name. Because you know your place as a child of God. And ultimately, that's where we have to come to. And you know, I believe that our Christian walk is a journey. And maybe you're not at the place of that strength and faith, but that is what you have to strive for and obtain. And I hate when preachers and people that talk about Jesus and Christianity make it seem like it's so hard to get to. And like, yeah, we're never going to be perfect and we're always going to be failures. And why do you talk like that? Jesus never talked like that to his disciples. He never said, Peter, yeah, you screwed up and you're always going to be screwing up for the rest of your life. No, Peter was restored to Jesus when Jesus, after he denied Jesus three times, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, then feed my sheep. He asked him three times. He never said, Peter, you know, I thought you were going to be the rock that the church was going to be built on, but clearly I made a mistake when I judged your character. You're nothing but a screw-up, and I really wish I wouldn't have ever said that. Let's just erase that from the scriptures real quick. No. You always have to speak faith because you know who you are. So you grow. And don't think that it's impossible to obtain and that it's years and years and years away. No, it's whenever you get hungry enough to decide, Jesus, I put all my trust in you. And you do. And then you start to live that way. And you start to walk by faith. You start to do things by faith, not by fear. Many people are ruled by fear. The reason many people don't start their own business is because they're scared that they're going to fail. The reason that many people don't create the product that they've always wanted to is because they're fear they're going to fail. The reason most people don't switch to a job that they want to is fear of change. Many people live in fear. And the plans, the good things that God has in store for you are all based on you walking in faith. And the first time you step out of the boat onto the water, you might be like, you might need that word from Jesus to say, Jesus, if you want me to walk on the water, just tell me the word and I'll do it. And then you step out on your own and then you actually start walking on your own. So you have to then. You have to take that first step though. And you start walking by faith. Let's look at Paul in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, starting in verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. All right, so they're on the ship. They're going to Rome. And Paul had warned them before leaving, we shouldn't leave. We should just stay here until the winter's over. And then when the seasons are better for sailing, we'll go then. But they went anyway. And then Paul had given them that warning. And here in verse 22, And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So Paul had an angel of the Lord appear to him and gave him instruction. Now, we're going to go on to read a little more about this story here in a minute. But what happens is that this angel of the Lord appears to Paul. And what I really like is that he says that, "For you must go and be brought before Caesar." Because the angel of the Lord tells him that, so he knows that this is my purpose. Because remember, we talked about it this past Sunday, where Paul, that from the very beginning, that Paul's mission was to go to the world to preach to the Gentiles and stand before kings. He was to preach to kings. And here the angel of the Lord is confirming, you're going to stand before King Caesar. You're going to stand before this man and proclaim the gospel to him. So now Paul, he has no fear. For the rest of the, I don't think he had fear to begin with, but because he had gotten a word from God, he trusted that no matter what happened, it didn't matter what the situation looked like, because I know what my purpose is. I'm telling you, when you know what your purpose is, nothing will be able to stop you. So let's go on and see what I'm talking about. Verse 41, "But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves." Look at verse 42. "And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape." Now, at that point, Paul was a prisoner, and this is a prisoner ship, whole bunch of prisoners on there, and they're crashed on this shore, and the guards, all their idea is to kill all the prisoners so that they don't get away, right? At that point, you would think that Paul would be second-guessing that angel that appeared to him and told him that. You'd think that now, the situation has gone from bad to worse really quickly, and now all these prisoners all these guards are wanting to kill me and the rest of these prisoners. It doesn't look like God's word is coming to pass, right? And this is the thing, that many times people get caught up in when things don't look like God's word is coming to pass. They begin to question their purpose. They begin to question, did I really hear from God? They begin to question, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? They begin to question the principles that they've established in the word of God. When it comes to finances, they begin to question, well, should I really be tithing every week, or is that legalism? They begin to question the things that they know that they should be doing, but because they're looking at their situation and it doesn't look good at present, even though a few weeks before, a few months before, a few years before, their faith was rock solid, now because they're in a bad situation, many people begin to question, yeah, what if God just was wrong? What if I was wrong? What if I heard God wrong? What if I just ate too much cheese pizza that night and the angel that appeared to me was just nothing more than a hallucination of bad cheese, right? Have you ever had that happen? It's happened to me before this happened more when I was younger, where when I was a teenager and I would get radically touched by the presence of God, and like, I'm talking weeping, crying, snotting, the whole nine, everything, just like the Lord really touched me. It wouldn't be but a couple hours later till I would hear this like voice saying, yeah, but you made that up. That was all just you. That was emotionalism. Has that ever happened to you? Where you know in the moment, you've got your hand lifted, you're just getting touched by God, and you may fall on the ground, the Lord's just dealing with you and stuff, and then you leave church, you're on your way home, and you feel like you made all that up. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Because the enemy wants to rob you of that. And people will begin to question God. Because the enemy wants you to question God. That was how he originally got man to sin, right? Was to get Adam and Eve in the garden, to get Eve to question, is that really what God said? And he's been doing the same tactic ever since. Is that really what God said? Should you really be walking by faith? Should you really take this step, or was it that just your own idea? All right. So verse 42, "It was the soldiers' plan to kill all the prisoners unless any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul," the chief of all these prison guards was the one fighting on Paul's behalf. He's the one that wanted to save him. "Kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and go to the land." and the rest, some on boards, some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped the land safely. So from all of this, I mean, Paul knew right from the beginning that this is what's going to happen. And he never had to question. He never questioned that when they crashed the ship, God's plan for my life must have changed. God just closed one door and maybe he'll open another one. You know, you hear that all the time. That's no way that a victorious Christian should live. That's just like an easy cop-out for accepting failure. Oh, the Lord just closed that door. You know, it looked like the Lord had closed the door on Paul to go preach. But he never gave up. He never questioned because he knew what his purpose was. All right, let's keep going. Verse 1 of 28. Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." So here, again, life just sucks, right? Because you got bit by a viper, you know? I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that, right? But God, you called me to preach in Rome. You wanted me to go talk to the Caesar. And now I'm dying because of this snake bite. And just immediately you see Paul's reaction is that it says here in the next verse, and Paul began to cry. And Paul began to boo-hoo, and Paul began to complain and say about how bad his situation was and say that God must really not have loved me. God must not really have called me. I thought that God was good and that he only had good plans for me and that the devil's bad. And I thought that, that's the way Christians talk, is that when something bad happens, they immediately question everything that has to do with their faith because they allow fear in. Now, I love Paul's reaction. I love this next scripture. But he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. It doesn't even say that he said anything. He just took that snake and just shook it off into the fire. Vipers are a deadly snake. He should have died. But he didn't question because he had faith in God and he knew that his purpose was, I'm going to preach. So I don't care if I crash this ship. I don't care if the prisoners try and kill me. I don't care if an anaconda comes and swallows me. I don't care what happens. I'm going to preach. I'm going to the Caesar because I know that's what my purpose is. And that's why, again, it's so important for you to know what it is that God's called you to do. And then you can just know that no matter what, just like Jesus in the boat, storms ripping the ship to shreds, that you can just walk calmly out of there and be like, peace be still. That you can just calmly just shake that snake off into the fire because your faith is so rock solid in God. That you have your, as Jesus said, that your house is built on the rock. That your foundation is solid. That no matter what bad situation comes your way, you know that it can't affect you, that it can't touch you. And the reason that many people, good Christians, good Jesus-loving Christians, are affected is because they're not certain. Because they don't really know. They don't really believe. They're not 100%. You know, like, I'm starting to believe this healing stuff, but, I don't know why that this happened to me. And then they allow thoughts of the enemies to bombard their mind and to rob them of their faith, to rob them of their belief in everything that God is trying to do for them. Your reaction has to be so rock solid in faith that no matter what tries to stop you, you just shake the snake off into the fire. Amen? Verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we had departed, they provided such things as were necessary. What that means is that even though it looked like Paul's path to get to the Rome was a shipwreck, because that's what happened. It looked like everything that God was calling to do was ending in failure, was ending in defeat. That I know that this is my purpose, this is what I'm supposed to go and do, but it just looks like nothing isn't working out. Maybe I should just quit, maybe I should just give up. That's the way it looks. But every situation, it turned out into a victory for him. He ends up going to one of the wealthy estates on the island, being taken care of 3 days, praying for the guy's dad, and then has massive revival. Every sick person on the island came and was healed. On something that looked like a failure, he turned it into a victory. And then it says that when they were leaving, they were honored in many ways and had every and were provided for as necessary. That means in order to get to Rome, they needed a new ship. They needed ship supplies. They needed all this stuff to be able to go on with what God had called him to do. Everything was taken care of. And I believe that he never wavered in his faith. He just believed, and God brought him there, eventually to preach to Caesar. He knew his testimony. You cannot live in fear. You cannot look at your situation, at what you're facing, and allow fear to come in, and then to react in fear, to speak fear, to accept failure, to accept defeat, to accept sickness, to accept poverty. You can't. I don't know, God, how you're going to turn this around, but I know that you're turning it around for me because I am more than a conqueror. I know that other people, maybe they've suffered defeat in their life, but I can't. I can't because your word is true and I'm going to stand by it. You have to be tenacious about standing on God's word. And understand that fear will try to come. Every time, it's going to try. It's going to try hard to breach your faith. You know, when we were, before I even met Julia, or before we were, yeah, I think this is before I even met Julia, I had, you know, wanted to start in ministry, and had graduated Bible school at this point. I think I knew who Julia was at this point, but she was still a long way off for me. And, you know, I knew that God had put in my heart to go into ministry and start a church eventually. But leaving the river in Tampa Bay, I mean, like the river, if you've ever seen pictures of it or the video or you've been there, you know it's like, it's impressive. It's like, man, this ministry, this is amazing, everything that's going on there. I knew that I would be leaving there and starting from scratch with nothing. That was really intimidating for me. And so in order for me to leave there, I had to overcome my fear. And eventually, I built up the courage to leave the river and tell everyone that I was going to start a church. I was telling everyone, I even met with Pastor Rodney, and I said, yeah, I'm moving to New York, and I'm going to start a church. And I moved to New York, and I didn't start a church. not right away, anyway. Not like I had planned. I moved up here, and you know, I felt like, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is what I'm going to do. But then what happened was fear took over, because all of these thoughts of what happened if I failed took over. What happens if I start? Who am I to think that I can start a church? I was just, at that point, you know, just a young 20-something-year-old, you know, like young, like 21 or 22, something like that. And, you know, how can I start a church? And it was fear that held me back. And it was fear that held me back up until the point of my wife thankfully saying, like, dude, you got to get your life together. You said that we're going to start a church. Well, let's start the church. What are you waiting for? And I needed that. I needed to get a good reality check, a good kick in the pants, you know, to get me moving. Because I knew that God's purpose was for me to go into the ministry, to start the church, but it was fear that was holding me back. And I believe that there's many people that actually have either a call of God in their life to go into the ministry, to start a business, to do something totally revolutionary, to do something that will be totally amazing, that people would love to follow after, to learn from you, to join your business, to join your plan, to link up their vision with your vision. But what's holding you back is fear of what happens if I try this and I fail. What happens if I try it and it doesn't go as planned? Look, let me tell you, you'll probably try it and there will be setbacks and there will be unexpected things and there will be things that will come to try to slow you down. It will happen. But you have to determine that you're going to push all of those things aside and just keep moving forward. I'm not kidding you. For so many weeks on end, when we would come to church and there would be five people sitting there, you know, like six people sitting there. And then next week you got 10 people there, but then the following week there's four people sitting. You just like, I wanted to give up so many times. I'm not kidding. Like, but I knew that, man, if this is what God's called me to do, if this is where God has put me to minister to these people, then God has to do something. Something has to change. And there was even a time like in the first, no, it was like the second month of starting the church that that I questioned, and am I even called to ministry? My self-esteem and my opinion of my ministry was that low that like right as I'm getting out of the gate, getting started, I felt like, man, I suck at this. I better just give up. But I remember actually my friend Sam was ministering in our church, And I don't even know what he said, but I remember that he was preaching and the Lord was just speaking to me and he said, no, I have called you. And I heard it like loud and clear, just right in my spirit. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I just knew that this is what I'm called to do and that I won't give up. And so I know, like I don't care situations change. We just had a situation change. New owner just bought this building from the Methodist. So, and then they call up and they're businessmen. They're not church people, whatever. They don't care about helping us. So they're like, they're actually taking like our expenses and it's like about tripling to run this place. And you know, the first thought that comes to your mind is fear. It's like, well, crud, that sucks. I mean, how do we go on? You know, I mean, like I knew, you know, you want to, in the natural, allow fear to come in and be like, man, all that money, what are we going to do? But that's small thinking. That's fear thinking. So we had to decide that, look, you know, whether we're paying a few $100 or a few $1,000, God is well able to provide for it. And if God called us to minister, then he's going to be the one that is going to be able to provide. And that has to be your mentality with everything that you do. If God's called me to do this, if I'm in the will of God, then God is going to provide for me to do it. It might not look like it in the beginning or even later on. Paul was in the middle of his ministry when he shipwrecks in Malta and it looks like his ministry was shutting down. You know, in the natural, you wouldn't think that a shipwreck is a good thing for you to experience and get bitten by a viper. It doesn't look good, but you can't let that shake you. You can't let the fear in. Amen? Many people give up before they ever even start. They really do. I believe that people are called to do great things, but the reason that they end up just following somebody else that's trying to do something great is because of fear. I don't think that you should be the one just following somebody else's vision all the time. I think that, and look, if that's what God has called you to do, that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, God calls, you know, especially in ministry, people to help other people in the ministry. But if God's called you to do something in business, if God's called you to do something in your career, you can't let your present conditions and things that happen in your life to slow you down or to stop you from trying to achieve those goals. You know, many people have a fear of the unknown. You know, what if I try and what if things just don't go the way I plan? They will not go the way you plan. But you step out. And you meet that obstacle, and you take it head on, and you trust God that he's going to make the way for you, and you get through it. And then you get through the next one, and you get through the next one, and you keep going through those obstacles until your faith becomes so strong that now when an obstacle comes, you can just laugh. You can just sit in the back of the boat and snooze because you know what you're doing is what God's called you to do and that He's going to protect you and He's going to provide for you and He's going to take care of you. Amen? You know, my wife, when we were talking about having our first baby, you know, she was terrified for a long time about becoming a parent. You know, especially knowing that we were, you know, pastors of the church, and what happens if I screw up, and you know, what happens if Zara isn't, or our baby isn't perfect, and what happens if, you know, because everyone's going to see her and they're going to see if she makes a mistake and it's going to be so hard for her. And all these thoughts were going on, and they all had to do with fear, right? I mean, she was terrified of becoming a mom. She wanted kids, but she was terrified of becoming a mom. But then we were meeting with a pastor friend of ours, and I don't even think I heard most of the conversation, but they were there and they were talking, and they were talking about how this lady had experienced a similar thing, and it encouraged Julia to have faith and just understand that you go out and you start. You have your baby, and maybe things don't go perfectly, and maybe, you know, she makes some mistakes, but that's no reason just not to do this thing that you want to do in life. If there's something that you want to do, you should not allow fear to hold you back. And like, you know, now when we had Zara, it's like the happiest moment of our life. You know, we're like obsessed with her. We can just like stand there and watch her. And even like, you know, when she craps her pants, you're just, it's like she's still adorable. You know, I used to be terrified thinking that one day I would have to change a baby's diaper. You know, like, I am not that kind of guy. You know, I did not grow up holding babies and having little brothers and sisters and help parent them. Not me. I never was around kids. You know, so I was terrified of that. But, you know, you learn to change a diaper pretty quick, right? And, you know, that's the way things go. You have to start somewhere, and you might have to change some diapers along the way. You might have to go through some crappy situations, if you know what I mean. And but then you get through. And you realize that all of your fears were just stupid. You know that, right? I mean, isn't that like looking back now at, you know, becoming a parent and like all the fears that you were facing, it's like, man, why would I ever even think that? But, you know, it's because at that time that was the reality of the perspective that she was facing. But you have to allow God to shine light in. And you have to allow your faith to rise up. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That has to resonate in your spirit. That you know that God has not given me a spirit of fear. So if I'm facing fear, I have to do everything that I can do in my ability to get rid of it, because it's not from God. God has given me a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. You know, I mean, no matter what stage you're at in life, maybe you are doing what you're called to do, but you're scared to get to the next level. You know, it can be an intimidating thing. You know, for us, when we got this building, you know, we're in here and it's just a few hundred bucks a month. We're like, hey, this is great. We can handle this. The thought of you know, going out to purchase our own land with our own building, like that's intimidating. And it's a bridge that we have to cross. And until we allow faith to be stronger than fear, we'll just end up either doing things in the natural or never doing it at all. But when God is in the situation and you allow faith to rise up, then that's when the supernatural things start to take place. And it's figuring out, God, what is it that you've called me exactly to do? And I believe that God will show us the exact right property for us to go to, and with the exact right building for us to be in, and to provide for us to be in there, you know? But as long as we're just thinking in the natural of how can I afford this, how can I do this, you know, that's all the natural way of thinking, it's going to be really hard to do it. But, you know, to be honest, we want a new building. We don't want to be with, you know, the new owners jacking up the rent on us. You know, we're believing God for a supernatural situation. And so we're praying for his leading and guidance. But there's always going to be that fear of going to the next level. You know, I mean, right now we're in a situation where we pay rent. Well, when you're in a situation where you are in a mortgage, it's a much serious, much bigger commitment. So there's always that element of going to the next level, and you have to continually challenge yourself to break the fear of what's holding you back in this current stage to go to the next level. Amen? You know, I remember when I first went on Facebook Live. The first Facebook Live that I did, I was sitting, you know, in my bedroom, and I sat there for at least 15 minutes just staring at the Go Live button to click it. I was terrified, you know, and this is probably maybe 6 months, a year ago, something like that, I don't remember. But I was so scared. You know, we're already preaching in the church every week, so, you know, you'd think that you have at least somewhat of an ability to talk to people at that point. But there was something that was just so scared that was causing me to be so scared to click it. But I forced myself. I'm not going to let Facebook Live beat me. I'm not going to let this fear to go live on Facebook, you know, stop me from what God's called me to do. So I clicked live, and now, you know, like, we can go on live and we just have like a ton of fun. And so, but you have to like push yourself past and not let any sort of fear stop you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.